Lefwich, who has not been functional today, stands in the shotgun. Takes the snap, drops to throw with time. Now fires it long down the field. He's looking for Jimmy Smith. Smith trying to get the ball. Makes the grab. He's got the ball. He's inside the 25. Over Troy Vincent. Is there drama in Byron Lefwich? He sure has shown it here in the final 2 minutes. Byron fighting the noise. Calmly barks out the signals. Takes the snap. Drops. Turns. Throws. He's looking for Wilford. He made the grab. He made the grab. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Touchdown, Jaguars. Wilford made the grab. He made the grab. The Jaguars are going to win. There's no time left.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
You know, that play is the closest I've seen a relatively calm and normal sports bar that I would frequent quite often going into an absolute brawl.
Lefwich has barely been functional today.
He was terrible that day. Yeah, Lefwich was awful in that game, playing that game up in Buffalo. And I was at a local sports bar. There was this table of about 10 or 12 Buffalo fans that were sitting right in front of the big screen where the game was on. They weren't really talking any smack or anything, right? Like, they were just there watching the game. And when Lefwich hit Wilford, this entire bar, it's Jacksonville. So unless you're a Buffalo fan, odds are pretty good you're pulling for the Jaguars if you're in that bar. So the whole place is going absolute bananas. They started chanting not-so-nice things to the Buffalo Bills fans. You suck, among the more tame chants that were going on across the entire bar. And the wait staff actually had to come and escort the Buffalo fans out for their own safety. It was about to get violent. Like, they were getting bowed up, and I was like, really, this is like an early-season game. It really doesn't matter all that much.
Bills Mafia doesn't play around, Tony.
No. And as we've seen, and thank goodness for social media, we know more than ever just all we need to about Bills Mafia. And again, that's another one of those moments where Byron Lefwich is another one of those players who teased Jacksonville, right? Blaine Gabbert teased Jacksonville, if you want to call it that. He was a first-round pick that they traded up to get, so and he played the quarterback position. So I would say whether or not he was ever any good on the field, you still felt like, oh, we got our first-round quarterback. That's the way it works. We're hoping that the teasing when it comes to the success of this team is done, and instead there will be results for this football team here in Jacksonville. As I told Hick a few moments ago, today, for the most part, is going to be about taking a look back at what happened during OTAs and minicamp and getting to some of the comments. We've talked a lot about, you know, who the coaches have been saying has stood out for them, the improvement of some of these players, what they have said. We wanted to give the opportunity today to hear those comments from the coaches and the players talking about themselves and what they feel like they have accomplished here during this offseason. Our fan feedback question of the day today is fed by the first thing we're going to do in the show here in just a moment as Kelvin Beachum joined Jamie Dukes. I'm not sure what show it was on the NFL Network that he joined him on, but joined Jamie Dukes, and Jamie decided to have a little fun while Kelvin was on with him at Luke Jokel's expense, which I know there's a lot of fans out there in Jacksonville who have been having a lot of fun at Luke Jokel's expense here for the last couple of years, but Jamie Dukes did it. Kelvin Beachum had to respond to it on air. So what we're asking today on the Fan Feedback Spotlight is what returning players, so not the draft picks, not the free agent acquisitions, but what returning player to the Jaguars 2016 roster are you most concerned about? And that could be Jokel, it could be a handful of other guys. Just let us know who it is and why. At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, Facebook page. You can get involved there as well, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. We'll get to some of your responses a little bit later on the program. You're going to hear from Coach Bradley today. You're going to hear from the offensive coordinator today, defensive coordinator, some of the assistant coaches as well, outside of them, as well as some of the players today, as we take a look back at some of these comments that we have basically been building about this entire offseason. So let's take a look back before we start taking a real solid look forward to get ready for training camp today. Mike Dempsey's still out. He'll rejoin me in 9 days. He's still a week and a half away from getting back, June 30th. And I'm planning whatever vacation I'm going to take for early to mid-July. I'm going to take some time off. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Yet, but I'm getting out of here. after 2 weeks of this. Uncle Chaps will be in with me tomorrow. T-Wig coming in later this week. Going to have Brent Martineau in with me, trying to get two-thirds of the band back together on Friday for the show as well.
Now, I feel like we may have to explain who Uncle Chaps is, because if you're on Twitter, you know who Uncle Chaps is. He's coming to your timeline at one time or another. But, Tony, who is Uncle Chaps? The short version of who is Uncle Chaps?
I don't know his real name.
I don't either.
I still don't know his real name, so hopefully I'll get to know that tomorrow. He is whoever he wants to be, essentially, when it comes to the internet. If you, at some point in time on Twitter, have retweeted something and then found out that it was a complete hoax, there's a pretty good chance that it was Uncle Chaps that got you.
He's been Donald Trump recently. He's been CNN.
Yeah, he's been CNN.
Fox News.
He's done the Ian Rappaport thing to the point where Rappaport has actually commented on it directly to him, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know exactly who I'm getting in studio tomorrow. I know that he calls himself Uncle Chaps, but that's it. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what analyst I'm getting tomorrow, what kind of breaking news we may have on this program. I really don't, but we enjoy doing this Voice of the Fan thing from time to time, so we will have Uncle Chaps in studio with us tomorrow. Here in a moment, we'll let you hear from Kelvin Beachum, who caught up with Jamie Dukes on NFL Network, and Jamie, not so kind about your potential left tackle, guard, whatever you want to call, Luke Jokel going into the 2016 season. We'll get into that as we get things rolling here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday. Fat Tony here with you. Tyler alongside. And that's the crew today. This is what we got.
Where in the world do you think Mike Dempsey is?
Honestly,
is he in
the
desert, or is he in a mountain somewhere?
Today, I don't know. Hopefully, if he's at Yellowstone, he's staying within the ropes. I don't want to hear any devastating stories about Mr. Dempsey or clan. I hope they're having a wonderful time, though. That's a really, really cool opportunity and cool vacation for them. And look, as I've said, I kind of joke around about being upset that he's gone for as long as he is. He never does this. Like, Mike really never does this. He'll take, like, a day or two off every now and then.
He's upset with taking days off work.
Yeah.
He's legitimately upset at taking days off.
And it was funny because I know we'll go do the Super Bowl thing every year, and a couple years ago he went to, when we were in New Orleans, he basically took the week after the Super Bowl off because he had a bunch of family, like, in that area, so he just kind of stayed there and hung out for a week, and I came back, and that's the longest vacation he's taken. Honestly, it was that week since we started doing a show together. I don't even, is it 4 or 5 years ago now? Dempsey started and I started really doing a show together. We've been doing Jaguars Today. This will be the upcoming third season of us doing Jaguars Today here on 1010XL from 10 to noon, Monday through Friday. So he never takes these kind of vacations. And when he came to me early on in the year, he said, "Look, I think we're going to do the family vacation where we're going to go see Yellowstone and all that stuff." I was like, do it, man. Like, how many opportunities do you have to go and do something like that? So I think it's awesome that he's out there, but that's the last time I'm going to say it's awesome. I will now continue to tease him about not being here while he can't defend himself. And he would expect no less, because I'm sure when I'm out, that's all that happens. If my name gets brought up, he makes fun of me for not being there. Am I right?
He's probably watching a movie somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of, that's what I expect from anybody, if I'm not going to be in, is to, you make fun of the guy who's not there because he's not there to defend himself. That's kind of the thing here.
I know you guys made fun of me when I was gone for a week in May.
Oh, yeah.
I went back to the on-demand section on 1010XL.com.
It's, you're also the producer.
It's only fair.
Yeah, you're kind of the punchline anyway for anything that goes on here. Like, anything that goes wrong, it's your fault. If I say the wrong thing, it's your fault because you let me.
Well, it usually is in general anyway, right?
Yeah. So if you're going to be gone for a week, not only is everything still your fault, but you're the producer. So it's like a double whammy of things being said about you. As I said a few moments ago, Kelvin Beachum joined Jamie Dukes on NFL Network. Do we know what show it was?
I know he has NFL Total Access. Maybe Game Day as well. I'm not exactly sure. I'll look it up.
Yeah. I'm not sure what show it was, but I know it was on NFL Network that Kelvin Beachum, who is still recovering from that ACL tear that he suffered last year, is hopeful. It sounds like he's hopeful to be ready for the beginning of training camp, potentially, for this football team, which is a lot earlier than many people thought he would be, which would be a very, very good thing. There were questions for this offensive line for most of this offseason, when from the time they brought in Kelvin Beachum in free agency, about when he was going to be available, and are they potentially not going to even have him be able to get on the field for this football team until week three of the preseason, which would not be good. You'd like to have your starting five offensive linemen locked in by the time you get to that third preseason game. And you'd really ideally like to have it before. You know, you'd like to be a team that knows who your five offensive linemen are, I don't know, now. But for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're just not in that position this year. So Kelvin Beachum could potentially be the left tackle, and that means that other guys are going to be moving around. Where does that leave Luke Jokel? Well, Luke Jokel came up in this interview with Jamie Dukes. We'll get to that here in just a moment. First, we want to hear a real comment from Kelvin Beachum during the interview, actually talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, and this is a guy coming from the Pittsburgh Steelers, so from an organization that has had success, and he's been around that through his NFL career to this point. Kelvin Beachum said on this interview that he knows that these Jacksonville Jaguars are in win-now mode.
We're welcoming it. You're expected to win, and you're expected to win now. You know, they've put a plan together. This is year four of that plan. We have to win now. Playoffs is the only option. Not only playoffs, but getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, I know you want to throw jabs at the Jaguars, but that's the goal of every team. But we have to start putting, you know, the rubber got to meet the road. You know, we have to win. We have to win now.
I like the cheesy background music going on there during that interview. But look, you get the same kind of sense from a lot of the players that you talk to down there, especially the guys that have been around, but that it's already the difference between what the Jaguars are doing now and what they were doing, say, 5 or 6 years ago during the last handful of years, maybe the whole time with Gene Smith, really. But the difference between what the Jaguars are doing when, you know, we make fun of small school Gene, we make fun of a team that really didn't spend money in free agency because they were handcuffed for whatever reason when it came to free agency. The difference is, look, when they drafted Telvin Smith in the fifth round, all right, Telvin Smith is a linebacker at Florida State who dropped to the fifth round because of a pot deal. He is being interviewed in the phoner right after he gets drafted. This is a guy who just won a national championship with Florida State a few months before that, and he says, I'm coming to Jacksonville to bring a Super Bowl. They're drafting that guy. They're drafting Jalen Ramsey. They're drafting guys from premier institutions that have had real success at whatever level of football that they have played. And on top of that, look at the free agents that they've been bringing in. I mean, they bring in Malik Jackson. Malik Jackson put on a Super Bowl ring this offseason. They're bringing in a guy like Kelvin Beachum. He's been a part of the Steelers, which, have they won a Super Bowl in the last couple of years? No, but the Steelers have certainly been a very, very competitive football team, and the expectations in Pittsburgh, make no mistake, every year are to win a Super Bowl. That's the expectation with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jaguars, for the first time since Tom Coughlin left, are bringing in guys of that kind of caliber. Now, does it translate to anything yet? No, not necessarily, but it is a different feeling for this football team. Did we figure out what show it was?
Our source on Twitter, Duval Doom, says it was NFL HQ. And also another thing, some breaking news. Tony, have you bought your Jalen Ramsey number 38 Jaguars jersey yet?
I have not.
Good thing, because Jalen Ramsey just posted on Twitter about 6 minutes ago a picture of him catching a football with the number 20 in the background, saying 2020 vision headed into this thing. I think it's time for a new tradition in Duval, hashtag 20 Savage, hashtag Bless. It looks like Jalen Ramsey switching from 38 to 20.
I like that number more.
We knew a number with switch was coming soon.
Yeah, 38, I don't especially like for Jalen Ramsey. I like the number 20 more. It's still not my favorite defensive back number of all time, but he can make something out of that. 20 works.
Also, Jalen Ramsey just posted on Twitter 1 minute ago, buy them jerseys, LOL.
Jalen trying to let the people know. So I'm sure if the Jaguars aren't selling the Jalen Ramsey jerseys yet, you can go to one of those custom sites, right, and make it happen.
Right. Jaguars Twitter, the official Jaguars Twitter, will update when the presale goes online.
Yeah. Yeah. So one last cut here, and this is the more interesting one from Kelvin Beachum's interview there on NFL HQ. It seems like it was with Jamie Dukes. Jamie, apparently not complimentary of the Jaguars' left tackle for the last couple of years, Luke Jokel, who obviously Kelvin Beachum has signed here in Jacksonville to compete directly with for that left tackle spot. Jamie, he's going to take his shots here at Luke. Kelvin Beachum put in a little bit of an awkward position.
the culture that they've set up, the resources that the Jaguars have in the building, the resources that they're trying to put around their players to make sure that they're as successful as possible. I had no idea that all those things were
there. Let me give you another shot there, since we're taking shots of the resources putting around. You could have put another tackle around him, too, to go along with you, and then your quarterback wouldn't be sacked. Well, their quarterback would have been sacked.
Tell him so he can
handle.
That's
another
shot.
Hey,
I've been throwing jabs since
I got this here. You just got to the show. I do this all day.
You just make sure you get Luke all lined up, and you go over and take care of your side.
Luke needs to be sitting over here with us.
Hey, Jamie, you need to quit.
How about coming out of the backfield?
Oh, Jamie. Hilarious.
Funny guy.
Look, again, anyone out there who wants to get upset about that just because it's Jamie Dukes taking the shot, look in the mirror, Jacksonville.
It's the cool thing to do to take shots at Luke Jokel, is it
no,
not?
I get it.
It seems like it's the cool thing to do. Oh, Luke Jokel sucks. He's terrible. He's a turnstile. Well, in fact, he's a starting left tackle. He's probably middle of the road. He's not that bad.
I get it. I get all that. I don't think he's as bad as a lot of the fans in Jacksonville, at least the vocal minority of fans here in Jacksonville seem to think that he is. But for everyone who wants to get really upset with Jamie Dukes for saying what he said, there's a lot of people in Jacksonville that have said the exact same thing about Luke Jokel, and he doesn't need to be on the field. Why is he on an NFL field wearing my uniform? Like, there's a lot of people in Jacksonville that have felt that way about that guy. So I don't get too upset about Jamie taking that kind of shot. I think from his perspective, it's an honest shot about whatever he saw from Luke Jokel, and that's fine. Even if I think it's a little bit over the top, I don't necessarily think that Luke Jokel doesn't deserve some level of respect for the season that he had last year. He had a really, really terrible week 17 against Houston, but I thought he was just kind of the rest of the year. Didn't think he was great, didn't think he was bad, kind of middle of the road, and hopefully they found a guy that can improve that or push something better out of Luke Jokel. One or the other, they need better play out of the left tackle position. There's no doubt about that.
Tony, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Gun to your head. Luke Jokel here in 2017?
Is he here?
Is he here in 2017?
My feeling right now is no. And it's because I think Beachum's going to work out at the left tackle spot. And if Beachum is okay this year, then they're going to sign that extension with him and keep him around for four more years. And they can tell me whatever they want. I just don't see Jokel as a guard. Now, I understand Doug Marrone's comments of we want to put our five best offensive linemen on the field, and maybe Luke Jokel is one of the five best offensive linemen this football team has. Maybe. I'm not really sure, but they can keep saying that Luke Jokel's going to play guard. I don't see it. With the player that I saw playing left tackle, I just don't see it, and I will continue to say it until I'm proven wrong, and I very well could be proven wrong. And Luke Jokel could be the opening day left guard for this football team. I can't imagine that right now. Let's get a couple comments about the offensive line while we're talking about that left tackle position, left guard a little bit as well. One of the big moves this year for this Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line was moving Brandon Linder, who missed most of the 2015 season, inside from right guard to center for this team. Now, everyone down there seems to be really positive about it. I know talking to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley when we were out at the NFL Combine, and that was kind of when it got really hot, that it sounded like Linder was going to be the guy that they were going to rely on at center. They were both very confident in Brandon Linder's ability to make that kind of transition. We've heard a couple different guys speak about it here during the offseason. Let's hear from his offensive line coach first. Doug Marrone talked about just the move for Linder going from right guard to center.
It's probably the toughest transition is probably outside in, meaning that the toughest transition in offensive line is going from a tackle to a guard or to a tackle to a center. It's not as difficult going from guard to center because Brandon had done that before at times, so he had a little bit of a background, not a great background, but a little bit of one. His foot speed has helped him make that transition easier. He has very good foot speed, so you know that's something you need, foot speed and hand speed at center. So that transition has been very well. He's done everything from a standpoint of evaluation, extremely well. There's just a couple of things that we just got to keep working on and get better at, and that's what we'll look forward to in training camp.
No doubt. It sounds like, again, everybody's really confident that the move to center for Brandon Linder is going to be a positive one, and you can count me among those. I feel fine about Brandon Linder going to center. I have talked enough with Jeff Loggeman over the course of the last couple of years that it is left tackle and center are the positions you need to be strong at on that offensive line. And then, you know, you can put the other three positions in whatever order. Probably right tackle comes next. But left tackle and center are the two centerpieces, really. No pun intended. When talking about the offensive line, left tackle is in a bit of a flux right now. Brandon Linder's probably their best overall offensive lineman. He should play center. He was a really good guard, and they feel like he can do it. Now, there is the question about the communication between Linder and his quarterback Bortles, how comfortable they are with that exchange. The exchange, I don't think, should be any big deal when everything is said and done, but being the guy who's going to be making the calls on the offensive line, some of the things that are going to be put upon Brandon Linder is going to change his role, obviously, on this offensive line. His quarterback, Blake Bortles, talked a little bit about Linder making that move to center.
Really good. He did an unbelievable job in OTAs and minicamp. You know, took it kind of upon himself to learn the offense as quick as possible from the center position, and really did a good job. He's really intelligent, works really hard, and is obviously a really good offensive lineman.
Let's hope. He's being talked about as the best offensive lineman on this football team, and we'll see if that transition is a good one. Like I said, I'm confident that it will be. You just heard from Blake Bortles there. We'll hear more about Blake Bortles here in just a moment. What have the coaches been saying about Blake and his offseason to this point? Some of the things that he's improved upon as we look back at OTAs and minicamp for this Jaguars team as we get set to look forward to training camp here just 5.5 weeks away for the Jacksonville Jaguars. As we continue along, it is a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today. Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Rolling along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today. Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. Gonna listen to some comments by or about Blake Bortles here in just a moment. Looking back at OTAs and minicamp over the last 4 weeks or so for this Jaguars team, and you're not going to hear from anybody for a while. So wanted to kind of give you the opportunity to hear some of the comments that we're going to be talking about throughout this offseason to set up the expectations going into training camp here over the course of the next 5 weeks. I am Twitter reacting to Jalen Ramsey switching that jersey number. Obviously, Jalen's excited about putting on that 20 jersey here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, the tweet from Jalen Ramsey's account, 2020 vision heading into this thing. I think it's time for a new tradition in Duval, hashtag 20 Savage, hashtag blessed. Of course, was it Natron Means or the number 20 here in Jacksonville? More famously, it was a obvious friend of the program here on Jaguars Today, Donovan Darius, in that defensive backfield, wore that 20 for years here in Jacksonville. And now Jalen Ramsey going to be the guy that takes up that number 20. I guess that's kind of what it is for me. Like, 20, because of watching Darius here in Jacksonville as long as I did, feels like a safety number. But certainly, I prefer 20 to 38, and Jalen Ramsey's thrilled about it. So, hey, man, if you feel good, you play good. That's what a lot of guys believe. And Jalen Ramsey at least sounds like he feels good about the number change to 20. So
at the end of the road, Jalen's still trying to target that number 23. That's the ideal thing for him.
Which I understand.
Him being a Jumpman Jordan athlete, he's got to
sure.
get 23.
23 is sweet. Like, honestly, 23 is just a sweet number. I like 23. I really like 21. I like 27. Like, there are numbers that I like in that defensive backfield. 20's fine. 20's good. It's not great, but it's good. If I'm Jalen Ramsey. And I'd be doing what I needed to do to get that 23 at some point in time, and he may be able to get it eventually. It's just not going to happen right now for him. Look, if you had 23, would you give it up? I wouldn't.
Hell no.
I want 23. You're going to give me, what, 38? Nope. Like, I'm not taking that. That's not going to be the direction I go. But Jalen Ramsey excited about the jersey change, the number 20 from 38, so he says, get out there and buy those jerseys. So it sounds like he wants to make it official that he's going to be number 20 for the Jaguars here during his rookie campaign. Let's get to some of the comments about Blake Bortles throughout this offseason. Some of the guys who commented on him, including his head coach, Gus Bradley. Bradley, as he was walking out the door last week after minicamp wrapped up, just talked about Blake Bortles and the offseason he's had.
I thought it was really good. I think these next 39 days, what the offseason has helped him I think this offseason compared to last offseason has been more defined for him. But I think what he's learned is these next 39 days, he has a really set plan. The improvements he's made as far as knowledge on the offense and the control and really command of the offense is very evident to us as a coaching staff. And, you know, we talked to a lot of our players, sat down and had one-on-ones about, all right, what's your plan the next 39 days? He has a very clear plan.
Look, Blake Bortles is one of these guys since he got here to Jacksonville, and I had the opportunity to meet him, maybe even before that when I talked to him at the Super Bowl the year that he got drafted by the Jaguars. Blake Bortles isn't going to fail in the NFL because he doesn't put in the work. That's not going to happen. If Blake Bortles isn't going to succeed in this league, and I've said it before, it's going to be because Blake Bortles just can't succeed in this league. He's going to get what he can get out of what he is and the talent that he has. And his head coach talking about what's your plan for the next 39 days, I have no doubt that Blake Bortles has a really good plan as far as the work he's going to be putting in, who he's going to be working out with, where he's going to be doing it. I don't think Blake Bortles is taking 39 days away from football. I'd like him to take some time away from it because I think you do need to decompress and get away from it a little bit just so you can recharge those batteries a little bit. But Blake is going to get whatever he can get out of the talents that he has. And I sincerely believe that. And am curious to see just how high the ceiling could potentially be with this guy. His offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen, also commented on Bortles, specifically talking about his need to improve his decision-making.
I just think the whole decision-making process, which is critical for him, got to improve the decision-making process. And part of that, what makes decision-making easier, is having an understanding of the offense and knowing what protection checks need to be made, where to go with the ball, what my progression is on every play. And I think that comes with familiarity and with reps. And so that's why I say it's critical for the quarterback and any newcomer, but the quarterback especially, for his development, is critical to get every practice rep that he can. And he just continued to develop in terms of his decision-making.
No doubt, it's important for Blake to get better in that area. We've talked about the interception since he got on the field during that Week 3 game against Indianapolis his rookie year. It's been a storyline ever since. Just too many picks for him. If he can clean that area up in his game, who knows what kind of statistics that Blake Bortles could put up potentially. Also, his quarterback coach, Nathaniel Hackett, talking a little bit about Bortles during this offseason. He says that they're working more in that area of the game that all the fans wanted to see. Jaguars looking to run that hurry up.
Yeah, I think anytime you use the hurry up, it's always fun. It's always exciting, puts pressure on defense, and it's always good for a young quarterback to have to do that kind of stuff, to have to react to changes, react to situations, and think faster. So anytime you could simulate that, it's always good.
Is he more ready to do that?
He's more ready to do everything. I mean, you're going from year one to two. I mean, it's night and day. So I think everything is, how many ways can you stimulate him and how many ways can you push him every day?
And one last comment here from Nathaniel Hackett talking about Blake Bortles. This one kind of works hand in hand with that comment from Greg Olsen, his offensive coordinator, who talked about needing to improve his decision making. Well, one way you can get better is when you step to the line of scrimmage and you look at a defense, you know where the ball needs to go.
Without a doubt. I mean, just even the questions that he asks are way more advanced than they were last year. I mean, just the things that he wants to know, the checks he wants to be able to make, the protection calls he wants to make, everything is much more advanced, which is exciting because it allows you to kind of push him a little bit harder, but at the same time, bring him back to his original fundamentals.
Yeah, when you watch the really good ones in the league, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees, the Aaron Rodgers, the majority of the time, when they step to that line of scrimmage, they know where they're going with the ball. And it's not, I'm going to force it into this guy because he's hot. It is, they look at what the defense is doing, and they, yep, absolutely, Peyton Manning was a tactician at that. He was unbelievably good at this. To know where the play needs to go when you step to the line of scrimmage, and that prevents those throws where he's just throwing it out into the flat, and you're watching the corner flash in front of it, and you're thinking, how can he be making that mistake again? You know, that kind of thing, getting better before the snap, even before the play really begins on the field, to know where it needs to go is a crucial step forward for Blake Bortles if he's going to be, you know, a guy that we're talking about hopefully as a top five, top eight quarterback in this league. They do that.
And each year he goes into the offense, what is this, year two in the Olsen system now?
Yes.
Each year that goes by, he's going to be able to manipulate the defense more and more and more because he's going to know the offense like the back of his hand.
Yeah, and you hope it starts paying dividends. And again, if Blake Bortles is capable of doing it, he's going to get it out of himself. I believe that. And the question is, right now, how confident are you that Blake Bortles is capable of doing that? I'm pretty confident that he is, which is why I'm so bullish on Blake Bortles right now and the season upcoming for him and really a lot of the pieces of this offense. Doesn't mean it's without question. We talked about the offensive line a few moments ago. We'll get back to some of this Jaguar sound a little bit later on the program. But coming up next, this date in football history, it's an exciting one. Let me tell you, I can't wait to get to this date in football history, as well as the Honda driver on the NFL. Speaking of quarterbacks who need to figure some things out, apparently preseason for one Matthew Stafford, he thinks that they're ready to excel there in Detroit despite the loss of Calvin Johnson. We'll let you know exactly what that means when we get to the Honda driver on the NFL next here on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. If you bleed teal and black, then welcome home. Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or if you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 904-620-9225. He is a certified Invisalign provider, offers a 10% discount for all first-time customers' initial visits. You can visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history sponsor. As for this date in football history, there's a ton. Let me tell you, I don't know how I'm going to get through all this. Al Wilson, the former NFL linebacker, 39 years old today, first-round pick at Denver in 1999, made the Pro Bowl five times. And seriously, he is the highest-rated, most famous NFL player born on this date in football history.
This is employment, wow.
This is what we got for Al Wilson. When you do this segment every day through the offseason, they can't all be winners when it comes to this kind of thing on June 21st. But since there isn't much on football in this date, I do want to I don't want to completely disappoint everyone out there. So here's a quick history lesson, and it's so much better than National Selfie Day, which apparently today is, and you should be ashamed if you participate. I refused to participate in it. But on this date in 1788, the United States Constitution was officially ratified. On this date in 1788, the Constitution officially became the law of the land in the United States. The arguments over what anyone meant about anything in that document began before it was ratified, written, signed, any of that. And obviously, the debate continues to rage today.
Do you think James Madison, after he wrote the Constitution, do you think he did a selfie, a little pose there with the Constitution, put it on Instagram maybe?
Probably not on Instagram. There may have been like a portrait, you know, but he had to stand there for 3 days just holding up the piece of paper.
Someone had to paint it?
Yeah, for them to get that done as a, yeah, no National Selfie Day. But it is the day that the United States Constitution was officially ratified in 1788. It is the oldest written document that still governs a country right now. Is the United States Constitution. So it's an old, old piece of paper, but still holds a lot of power and sway, obviously, in these old here United States of America. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, 2 months ago, Tony, in this date in football history, or actually I would say in the Honda drive around the NFL, we talked about Trent Dilfer, the ESPN analyst, and the worldwide leader going their separate ways, and that all seemed but official. Well, in fact, we haven't really seen him on any ESPN programming so far in the last 2 months. Well, now Trent has told the Monday Morning Quarterback with Peter King that he actually will have an expanded role with the mothership. A lot of stuff gets said that isn't true. He told the MMQB, I've been under contract with ESPN, and I'm still under contract with ESPN. I will be back next year. I'll be back, in fact, doing more of an expanded role. It will be Monday Night Countdown and Sunday NFL Countdown. The Sunday morning thing is new for me. I'm excited to work with new guys, Matthew Hasselbeck, Charles Woodson, and still working with Chris Berman. I'm all right with this more as we get more cutting edge analysis like this.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Oh, such a great drop. Such
oh, we've all
drop.
Said really stupid things with an open mic. It happens from time to time.
It happens. Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown joined Russillo and Cannell on ESPN Radio to talk about what's been going on with Cleveland, obviously with the Cavaliers winning the first title in the city of Cleveland's history, well, in the last 50-plus years or so. And he was asked about a man many people are talking about now because of the 30 for 30 series What was his relationship like? What does he really know about O.J. Simpson?
Well, I knew O.J., and I appreciated his abilities. He was a great football player, but his community work was based upon, I'm going to make mine, Big Jim. You better learn how to make this money. You know, you're talking about those African-American people, but you better learn how to hang out in Beverly Hills. It was that kind of thing with him and myself. And, you know, I am black, and I'm happy about that. And I live by fighting for freedom, equality, and justice. And I love to help the underdog. The Juice had a great charm and great personality, great talent. And he used it to project himself. And it just caught up with him.
That was Jim Brown on O.J. Simpson on ESPN Radio's Russillo and Cannell. Redskins wide receiver Jamison Crowder believes the Redskins boast the best receiving core in the National Football League. He said, yeah, when he was asked about that, we think that we know that we're the best in the league, knowing that we got guys like DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, like you said, Jordan Reed. He had another great season last year. We even added Vernon Davis at the tight end position, but he's still another weapon that can help us out in the passing game. And Niles, you added Niles Paul and myself, so we feel like we have a really talented group, the most talent in the NFL. So I'm sure there's probably about 5 or 6, maybe even up to 10 wide receiver cores who feel like their wide receiver core or group is the best in the league.
Yeah, you may have an argument here in Jacksonville about who's got the best wide receiver core. If you're going to talk about, we went through the list last week of the triplets while we were out in minicamp one day. And so the top three offensive skill position guys on your team, quarterback is going to be one of the three.
Right.
But the other two combined. And Jacksonville was 9 on that list, with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns as the three. And I think if you go 4 or 5 deep, that Jacksonville's probably solidly in the top 5.
Right.
So.
Moving on to our final story here in the Honda Driver on the NFL. The Lions are dealing with life after Calvin Johnson, and of course that's a big-time loss. And Tony, you think that hurt your offense, of course, right?
Mm.
Well, quarterback Matt Stafford went on SiriusXM's NFL Radio with Alex Marvez and former Jaguar Kirk Morrison, and doesn't seem too worried about losing Megatron, and says they will be tougher on opposing defenses now without Megatron as a target. Here is Stafford's hot take. I think we're going to do it a little bit differently than we have in the past. Obviously, we used to feature Calvin, and everybody kind of got theirs after that. I think it's going to be tougher for defenses in a certain way that they don't know who we're going to. There's no guy to key in on. We're probably just going to spread the ball around a bunch, and a bunch of guys are going to get a ton of catches, and all is going to be all right in Detroit.
You know, this may sound funny coming from a guy who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars every day, and it's felt like 3 off seasons of hope in a row here in Jacksonville, where you want to buy everything that's coming out of the building, right? But that comment from Matthew Stafford sounds a lot like the lie that the Lions are trying to sell themselves inside that building, right? Like the idea that, oh, we're going to lose a Hall of Fame wide receiver and we're not going to skip a beat. In fact, we're going to be more difficult without one of the best receivers in the history of the National Football League standing on the field wearing our uniform. We're going to be more difficult to handle because they don't know who we're going to throw the ball to now. It's so ridiculous, but these are the things that NFL teams do and NFL players do. You try to convince yourself of the lie, and maybe it becomes a truth, right? You don't know. Maybe Detroit's offense is fine without Calvin Johnson. Certainly Golden Tate had a really good year last year in Detroit, even when Calvin Johnson was injured. But you try to convince yourself of this idea that, yeah, we're fine without Calvin, even if like the real intelligent part of your brain is going, we just lost a Hall of Fame receiver. How am I going to cope with this? And it's like this emotional coping device is, oh, we're fine. We're even tougher without one of the handful of the best receivers in the NFL's history.
Jim Caldwell is probably on the hottest seat in the National Football League. So he's probably telling Matt Stafford, all right, man, this is my last year in Detroit, but we're going to make it a good year. You know, we lose Calvin, we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine. We're just going to tread some water.
No. It's not that we're going to be all right. He didn't say we're going to be all right. What they're telling those guys in the building is, we're better. We're better without Calvin. They don't know who to cover now.
Now we don't have to throw to Calvin. We can throw to everyone else now. We'll be better.
It's so stupid.
Your team does not get better when you lose Calvin Johnson.
No. A couple things to clean up here as well. Yannick Ngakoue has finally signed his rookie deal. So the Jaguars have everybody in-house now. The whole the draft class is signed. so you don't have to worry about that kind of thing, which you don't anymore with the slotted system, unless it's Joey Bosa who wants to complain about offset language, essentially, in his rookie deal. But the Jaguars have everybody in the fold, so they'll all be there for training camp coming up, and it's done 5 weeks before that even gets started. I remember when that used to be a story. Who's going to get signed when? No longer do we have to worry about that with the slotted system. The other thing that we haven't mentioned yet today, and I feel like we should. Are you a fan of the body issue, Tyler? From ESPN the magazine?
It doesn't do much for me.
Okay, because I'm not. I don't like the body issue at all, but that I don't get ESPN the magazine. I'm certainly
I don't have any issues with it, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to go to the stands to pick up the body issue. But every year when the list of who's going to be in the body issue comes out, you know, you take a brief glance just to see, all right, who's doing it this time, right? So I go through the list. I don't know how many names there is here, but I know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I know 8 of the names on this list as far as who they are and what they do. And the rest of them, I have no idea. Nathan Adrian. What can you tell them about Nathan Adrian?
Don't know.
I don't know. Jake Arrieta, I obviously know. Antonio Brown, we all know. Emma Coburn,
who?
Your guess is as good as mine.
A skier, maybe?
Could be. Courtney Conlogue. Yeah. Elena Delladonna.
WNBA.
Okay. Let's see. I didn't know that. She's not one of my 8.
She's probably the second best player in the WNBA, but I'm not surprised that nobody knows that.
Yeah. That tells you how far off my radar that is. Ryan Dungey. Adeline Gray, I know Greg Louganis, I know Conor McGregor, I know Vaughn Miller, Chris Mosier, I assume that's how you say, and Nzinga Prescott, I don't know who that is. Kristen Press is a women's soccer player, I know who that is. April Ross, Alyssa Seeley, Clarissa Shields, Dwayne Wade, and here's the one. All right, who the hell wants to see Vince Wilfork in the body issue? Who is that for? Honestly, covering the NFL, I am astonished, okay, astonished at the athleticism and quickness of the guys in this league. And when you get down there on field level, which you get the opportunity to basically as a fan if you come out to like training camp or the mini camp, that kind of thing, when it gets to training camp and they put on those full pads and you get that's as close as you can get as a fan to NFL players going full contact like that. It is unbelievable how guys that are 330, 340 pounds move. I'm not saying that it's not something that you're like, how did he do that? That's fine. I admire it. I marvel at it. I do not want to see Vince Wilfork's body. And I can't imagine anyone who does.
Which was worse, Vince Wilfork or Prince Fielder? Prince Fielder's a big boy.
He's apparently a vegan. I don't know how he got that big being a vegan.
Prince Fielder is a vegan?
Apparently. I don't know if he changed his diet in like the last couple years to that, but that's what I've heard is that he's actually a vegan. And I guess maybe somebody wants to see Vince Wilfork. I just, if you're the person that wants to see Vince Wilfork in the body issue, let me know. And I will immediately ask what's wrong with you. would be my first response to that kind of thing. We're going to get back into the Jaguars here in just a moment. Get through some of the comments on the guys that have stood out to this point in the offseason. We've mentioned some of these names a lot, but want to let you hear from the guys that are talking about them. Why we're talking about them as much as we are is because the guys that are in control are talking about them as much as they have been. So guys like Sheldon Day, Marquise Lee, we'll hear more about them here in just a moment as we roll along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today. On 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Children, that's who we hire here at 1010XL.
We were just talking about having open mics and saying things that may not sound the way you wanted them to sound.
Children, we're all still 13 at heart, and that's why we continue to get paid to talk sports on the radio. You can't do this without having a childish disposition. Still. That's a great promo. I love it even more that Beef was like, I'm not going to put it in the promo. Like, that's just fantastic stuff from those guys. We mentioned earlier on in the show, Jalen Ramsey announcing on Twitter that he is officially changing that jersey number, no longer 38. So if you want to get your hands on a Ramsey jersey, you need to get that 20 put on it. As he said, what, 2020 vision? He's psyched about the jersey change there to number 20. Obviously, that's a jersey that Donovan Darius wore to patrol the Jaguars' defensive backfield for years. Here with Jacksonville, I'm hopeful to be able to catch up with Donovan at some point in this offseason and get him in at least one more time before we get to training camp here in 5 weeks or so. Just haven't been able to catch up with him yet. But Jalen Ramsey taking on that number 20 mantle here in Jacksonville. Natron Means also wore the 20 jersey for the Jags during that run in 1996. So they've seen some success from players wearing that number 20. Jalen Ramsey, hopefully the next one in that club. Sheldon Day, who we're going to hear about here in just a moment from a couple of different guys, is someone who has stood out over the course of this offseason. Apparently also changing his jersey number. If you've been out to minicamp or anything, you've seen Sheldon out there in that number 61. You may have noticed him carrying all the defensive linemen's helmets off the field as part of his rookie hazing, wearing that 61 jersey. But he is going to be switching his number as well. Did I hear right? 92.
Correct.
For Sheldon Day as he goes from 61 to 92. And Sheldon is an interesting guy in that he's a fourth-round pick. He's another three technique for this team that now feels like they got a ton of those types of guys on this roster with the addition of Malik Jackson in free agency. Send Derek Marks, who was their best player on this roster 2 years ago, coming back into the fold and looking like he may be healthy for the first time in a while for this Jaguars team. Sheldon Day comes in to be another one of those guys that can play that position. How flexible is he going to be as far as being able to play the three, maybe being able to play a little bit of the five? Can he play a little bit of nose tackle for this team, that position that Roy Miller plays where he can be a two-gap guy? That's all to be seen as far as what Sheldon Day is going to be once they put on the pads. But the quickness certainly showed up for him during the OTAs and minicamp. Gus Bradley, your head coach, talked about trying to evaluate those interior defensive linemen in shorts and helmets, but he was specifically asked about Sheldon Day and how much he has stood out.
I think one thing when you look at interior linemen is their explosiveness, and he is very explosive. And it's a good thing. I'm spending more time with the defense now, but still getting in the offense and hearing our offensive coaches talk about him. Like, you know, Gus, I know it's not pads, but he's something to deal with now, just the way he gets off the ball and some of the issues he creates. So, you know, it's always good to have good feedback, and we talked a little bit about that in our personnel meeting yesterday.
Yeah, he's creating problems with his quickness right now, so where is he going to be physically once they get into training camp and put those pads on? We'll find out. That's obviously the next step for rookie Sheldon Day. Defensive coordinator Todd Walsh also commented on the rookie interior lineman.
He's very explosive, plays with great pad level, and anything you ask him to do, he does it exactly how you want it done. So he's very coachable. He knows the package already inside and out. He's a great student of the game already. So it's going to be exciting once we get pads on to see exactly what we got. But up until this point, very, very excited.
Everyone's excited about Sheldon Day. It's been kind of funny with that guy. We had Gus Bradley in studio during minicamp. Or during the OTAs, Mike and I did down at the stadium, and we set Gus Bradley down. We asked simply, you know, who's standing out on that side of the ball, and he said Sheldon Day. We had Dante Fowler Jr. in studio with us. We asked who's standing out on that defensive line. He said Sheldon Day. We had Telvin Smith on with us last Tuesday for minicamp, and we asked who's standing out in front of you on that defensive line. And he said Sheldon Day.
There's like no pause with these answers. It's immediately you ask the question and they say, yeah. Oh, Sheldon Day, man, he's been surprising.
Yeah, there's a lot of attention being paid to Sheldon, and it's gotten to the point where now, you know, and this is something we'll be talking about as we get ready for training camp, what guys are you most looking forward to seeing put on those pads? I think Sheldon's one of those guys who is towards the top of my list now. And I don't know if I felt that way about him. You know, even after he was drafted 3-4 weeks ago when OTAs were getting started, I don't know that I felt that way about Sheldon Day, but the conversation about him has been such that you almost have to be like, all right, let's see. You know, the quickness showed up when they're not in pads. Does he have the strength he needs to make the quickness count? And that's going to be the question that everyone has about him once we get into camp, but certainly showing off a little bit. To this point in the offseason, one of the other guys that's been showing off and actually just got his rookie deal signed earlier today, that would be Yannick Ngakoue, the third-round pick. For most of the offseason, he was the highest pick from the Jaguars that was available to him out on the practice field with the injury to Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack not being able to be there until the last week when minicamp rolled around. But Yannick was there the entire time, and Gus was asked about him and how confident he is in Yannick Ngakoue as a situational rusher.
Yeah, I think even though we're not in pads, just in some of the drill work, you know, what we're seeing right now, I don't know, you know, some of the question was his versus the run. Maybe not as bad as we thought, you know, not that we thought he was terrible, but, you know, hey, we're pleasantly surprised there. And I think that he's going to be a guy that maybe brings a little speed to power, which you would think he was just speed. But, you know, again, we'll wait and see with pads on, but there's some things that we see that, you know, it's intriguing to us. So, yeah, he's done a nice job.
Todd Walsh basically commenting on the same thing, talked about Yannick Ngakoue's potential as a scheme fit and only being able to work in those pass situations.
In the process of evaluating him off of college tape, you know, I had some concerns about the run game. And I talked to his defensive coordinator at Maryland. Obviously, I went and visited him in Maryland. But we don't see that. You know, he's got the willingness and he's got the toughness to sit in there and play the run. So that was the most encouraging thing we've seen out of him at this point.
They need that. Honestly, they need it. I've been saying it since free agency opened up that, look, they're going to be, when they missed on Olivier Vernon, they missed on Robert Ayers, and when I got in that Monday after they had not landed Vernon after we had gotten off the air on Friday, Robert Ayers had decided to sign with Tampa Bay by the time we got back in. And Dempsey asked me, you know, what was your reaction? What's your reaction to them not landing either one of those guys? And I said, 0-2. And the biggest question mark they had coming into this offseason, 0-2 at that Leo spot. With Branch and Clemens going out the door for a team that really couldn't affect the passer last year, I thought it was critically important for them to find an answer at that spot. And I still am very wary of what they're going to be putting on the field. Now, Dante has looked great coming back off that ACL injury. Talking to him, it doesn't look or sound like that knee injury is in his head, which is a really good sign for the middle of June and should pay dividends for this football team going into training camp. But you're still talking about a guy going into his second year in the league that didn't play last year, and his direct backup right now on the roster is Yannick Ngakoue, who's a third-round pick, and there were a lot of questions about, well, can he play the run? And I think there's going to be times this year where if you're going to be the direct backup to Dante Fowler Jr., they need somebody that can do a little bit more than just be a situational pass rusher. There's going to be times when Dante needs a breather, and they're going to need somebody on the field on first or second down. Can Ngakoue do that? And I think those questions were legit. It sounds like he's answering that a little bit better than they expected him to early on in his Jaguars career out there, at least during the OTAs and minicamp. One of the other names that you heard a lot, and I love this clip from offensive coordinator Greg Olsen talking about wide receiver Marquise Lee. I do. I love this clip. As Marquise, when Gus Bradley sat down in studio with us, we asked about what's going on with Marquise, and he said, well, he's got a couple healthy practices. This was very early in the OTAs. He's like, got a couple healthy practices. That's good. And had that big smile on his face. And I think the conversation inside the building has changed a little bit when it comes to a guy like Marquise Lee. And it
backing
should.
Him up.
Yeah, it should. Right? He's going into his third year. Allen Robinson has been a stud. Allen Hurns just got that big contract extension. They feel good about what they have in this wide receiver core. It's almost to a point where anything they can get out of Marquise Lee is a bonus for this football team right now. Not saying that they don't have expectations for Marquise Lee, but he's been so limited in what they can even ask him to do because he's missed such huge parts of the offseason and training camps in his first 2 years here in Jacksonville. Got through this entire offseason healthy. Offensive coordinator Greg Olsen talked about his wide receiver.
Well, one, they can stay healthy. And I wasn't here as rookie season, but I know, again, compared to last year, really excited about him. Was healthy throughout OTAs and training and the mini camp here. He's in a great place mentally. We moved him around this spring, really, by Allen Robinson having to take some days off. We were able to put Marquise at the X position, and he did some good things there. So he's got a much better, not only health-wise, he's feeling better, but he's got a better understanding overall of the offense, and he's able to play in multiple positions, which is something we had met with all three, you know, the Hearns and Robinson and Marquise. You've got to know all three positions, and I think all three of them have jumped into that, and kind of excited about that, being able to move those three guys around.
Yeah, Marquise Lee standing out throughout the OTAs. Dante Fowler Jr., another guy that we've heard a lot about throughout these OTAs. Want to get one last comment in here from head coach Gus Bradley, and this is from last Thursday after minicamp wrapped up and really the Jaguars offseason wrapping up. But Gus was asked, it's a big question for this team. After watching how much improvement they had on the offensive side of the ball between 2014 and 15, a lot of questions about can the Jaguars, if they're going to be successful this year, have that same kind of level of improvement on the other side of the ball. Defensively, can they improve as much between 2015 and 16 as they did offensively from 2014 to 15? Here's what Gus Bradley had to say.
I don't know what that means as far as if you're saying statistic-wise, but we need to have really good improvement and in specific areas. I think where you saw us in practice, we put a lot of emphasis on third down and a lot of emphasis on red zone. And that was really for both sides of the ball. That's the areas that we were weak. And, you know, that's been a major, major emphasis for us. So I anticipate seeing us improve greatly in those areas, which our team needs. Not at the expense of, you know, moving back down in first and second down for both sides. But, yeah, that's the expectation. We're better in those areas that we were deficient at last year.
21st century, man. It feels like the Jaguars are finally coming into it. Honestly, that's it feels like there is maybe a transition happening here in Jacksonville. I'm, like a lot of you fans, I'm hopeful about this 2016 team and what they can get done. I'm not over the moon excited like a lot of you guys are, but I'm very hopeful about what they can get done with the improved talent that they have on this roster. And it's comments like that where, for the first time since Bradley got here, the conversation feels like, hey, we need to get really, really good at situational football. We need to be really, really good third down, red zone. These are the things that they can talk about now because it is year four, because they have a young group of guys that they're not trying to get into the league now. They have established players on this roster. So you feel like you can take that next step as a team, take that next step as an offense, that next step potentially as a defense. That's the reason for my excitement for this team, is that the conversation feels like it's changed in this offseason compared to where it was for the last couple of years. Hopefully, that means that the results on Sundays changes as well, because, look, I'll say it again. I really like Gus Bradley. I do. I really, really like Gus Bradley, and I want it to work in Jacksonville with Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell. I want it to work. I want this team to be successful with these guys because I like these guys, but hey, man, I can't force it. They got to go out there and accomplish those things. And Mike and I have been very blunt about what we would have done this offseason. If I was running the organization, Gus Bradley wouldn't be here. After the first 3 years, I would have made the change. And I hope like heck that I'm wrong about that particular opinion. But time will tell on that one. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight here in just a moment. We're asking you in the fan feedback spotlight today. We had the cuts from Jamie Dukes taking his shots at Luke Jokel when talking with Kelvin Beachum earlier today, which kind of inspired this question a little bit for me. But we're asking what returning Jaguars player, so nobody that came in via the draft, no one that came in via free agency, but what returning Jaguars player do you have the most concerns about and why? At 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars today. We'll get to your answers to that question next. Here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
There he is, Blake Bortles. And honestly, I'm surprised by how many people answered Blake Bortles to our question today. The fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Asking today, what returning Jaguars player are you most concerned about heading into the 2016 season and why? Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you as we'll get to some of the Twitter answers here in just a moment to that question. Some of the answers we got on Facebook, and again, I'm surprised by how many people said the quarterbacks, but some of the answers that we got today from Alex, I feel like Jonathan Cyprian. He has a free safety in Gibson that he's never had during his career, which could help him tremendously. What concerns me is that the staff might think they've seen everything Cyprian can do, that he's reached its ceiling, and maybe feel like it's time to give James Sample that opportunity. I think at some point this year, unless Cyprian all of a sudden becomes that player who looked worthy of being the first pick of the second round of the NFL draft, that at some point James Sample is going to get the opportunity. I was impressed with James Sample on the practice field last year. I thought that when he was on the, in the few opportunities he actually had on the field, he looked like a rookie trying to learn the safety position behind a defense that couldn't get any kind of pass rush. None of that other stuff was going on. So I certainly expect at some point James Sample is going to get a chance from Josh. He says he definitely has to go with Jokel. Left tackle is his biggest concern on the roster. From Cameron, Cyprian, Luke Jokel would have been my pick, but I feel like there's more riding on Cyprian to do well this year. If Jokel plays guard, he can't be a liability. He says both guys are pretty close. From Damon, he says Jokel. From Michael, he says Marquise Lee. He hasn't been able to stay healthy over the course of his career so far. That's certainly true. From Young Loco, we got Blake Bortles. The whole team depends on his improvement. From Kevin, Denard Robinson, and whoever we decide is going to play center, it's going to be Linder. From Garrett, my concern is for Blake Bortles, and this is simply because I have become a pessimistic but hopeful Jaguars fan. My criticism isn't against Blake as a person or player, but the position as a whole. It is extremely difficult to maintain success as a quarterback in the NFL. We've seen so many try and fail. And from Scott, he says D-Rob doesn't think he's going to make the cut for his team when everything is said and done. So I'm a little bit surprised that Bortles came up. I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense. If you're talking about the guys, you know, if this question was, upon who does the success of the Jaguars in 2016 most depend? I think Bortles is a pretty easy answer. And so if I'm going to ask a question about who are you most concerned about heading into the 2016 season, if you're not taking it as a, this is a player that I had major questions about, if instead you're going to look at it and say, well, let me take the angle of this is the guy who would be most concerning to our success or failure, I certainly think Blake Bortles is at the top of that list. So I can understand getting it a couple times. What did we get on Twitter, Tyler?
On Twitter, it was a mixed bag as well. Like, a lot of people said Bortles as well as Jokel. Chuck D said Bortles because it all hinges on him. Wiggleman says Cyprian slash Jokel comes to mind first, but I'm not that concerned about it. I think we've addressed their shortcomings. Jagdog82 says, gotta be Cip. Can he finally be that enforcer in the box, or will he play his way out of Duval? Christoph across the pond says 1A, Jokel, his lack of ability to pass protect consistently. 1B, Jason Myers, can he kick the PAT consistently? That is a big question. I didn't even really think about Jason Myers being a guy that I'm really all that concerned about. Joey the Jags fan says, Parnell, we have Jokel's replacement, but we need JP to play at a high level. Hashtag at Jaguars today. Union Jacks Joe says, for one day only, I don't care. Wales, Wales, Wales. Hashtag Euro 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else here. Lord of the Jaguar Cody says, in Gene, we trusted hubris to humiliation. That was one of another 30 for 30 ideas that he was throwing out from yesterday's Tom Bush Motors question of the day. Clarence Austin says, it was NFL HQ. We were getting some more confirmation on the Beecham appearance on the NFL headquarters show yesterday. And that seems to be a lot of the responses we got, Tony, was Jokel, was Cyprian. And it was surprising to see some Bortles, like you said.
Yeah, a little bit surprising to see Bortles. But when I think about it a little bit, it is what it is. We got Jason Myers a couple times on the text line as well, driven by Duval Ford. And one here that I'll read from 254. That's easy. Gus Bradley, will he be able to bring this team together? Will he find his coaching style to be successful this year? So many questions for the team. They all start at the top. Now, I did ask what player you're most concerned about, but Gus Bradley, while not technically a valid answer to this question, is a guy who obviously is going to have a lot of pressure on him this year. And it starts and ends with Gus Bradley. And if they're not successful in 2016, and again, I don't know what defines success inside that building right now. And the threshold for what is successful for these first 3 years under Bradley and Caldwell has been so low. You know, what has been good enough to feel good about this group going forward? The threshold for that has been so low through the first 3 years. And it feels like year four should be a year where the expectations go really high for this football team. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And it's the number one question I get asked by fans now, and I'm glad that it has changed to how many games does Gus Bradley have to win to keep his job. I'm glad that's the question I'm being asked now, as opposed to being asked about a quarterback that they didn't draft here a handful of years ago. which I actually got asked about by some out-of-town people at a wedding that I attended yesterday. They heard I worked in sports radio here in town, and they asked me immediately about the quarterback that I'm not going to talk about on this show that the Jaguars chose not to draft, all right, even if he's released. I get asked that occasionally, but I get asked more about Gus Bradley. And the other thing that I'm glad to not have to answer questions about anymore is Justin Blackmon.
Oh, God.
I can't tell you how many times during that 3 or 4 year stretch someone would find out what I do and they'd ask, is Justin Blackmon ever going to be back on this roster? And I'd look at him and say, Justin Blackmon doesn't want to play football. So no, he's not going to be back on this roster. Then why don't they release him? Because there's no need to. They can get back some money if they don't release him. And why release him and even take a chance that he goes somewhere else to land and find success in the NFL? If he's going to be successful in the NFL, you want to get some piece of it if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I don't get asked that anymore. I don't get asked about London when I do like radio hits. When I was doing the mock drafts this year, I wasn't asked a ton about when I came on, so when is this team going to London? Like somebody's so clever. It would happen occasionally, but not that often. I think that story's getting cycled out a little bit in the NFL circles. The question I get is, how many games does Gus Bradley have to win to keep his job? And honestly, I have no idea. I know what the number would be at or around in my head for Gus Bradley to keep his job, which would be 8. That'd be the number I have in my own head. And I get why Dave Caldwell's not going to come out and say, if Gus Bradley doesn't win 8 games, we're going to have to look for somebody else. I get why Shad Khan's not coming out and saying the same thing. I get it, because then that comment could get held over your head if the quarterback gets hurt or something like that. I get that that's why you don't put those kind of things on yourself. In my own head, it would be reasonable to me, even if the general manager or owner came out and said, if they don't win 8 games, we're going to have to let him go. And if Blake Bortles gets hurt in the training camp, right, and can't play this year, that your expectations change.
Right, it's so tough to place a number on a preseason because there's circumstances that are just out of your control that could happen throughout the season.
Oh, yeah, but to me, even if they put those numbers on it right now and then Blake Bortles got hurt, well, I don't expect the Jaguars to win 8 games without Blake Bortles. Nobody does. Nobody does. So if they were going to face that kind of injury, which is kind of why they're not going to put a number on it, like that's what everyone says, well, they don't need to put a number on it because
there's nothing to gain out of that situation.
These things can happen. Well, the number changes
right
when those things happen. So I get why you don't say it. I also, the other side of my brain's like, it doesn't really matter if you say it or not. Like, it's one of those comments that really doesn't mean much. They're not even, the way it feels coming out of that building, though, I don't know. Like, even everyone's healthy for this entire season. I don't know that 7-9 is enough to get Gus out of here. I don't know that 6-10, honestly, I don't know that it's enough for them to pull the trigger and make a change. I do not know.
And we'll probably never hear like a specific number of wins or a goal, a target number of wins the Jags have from them themselves. But they may throw out the word playoffs or we want to get to the postseason. They may say that type of thing, right? They're going to say, indirectly, this is our goal, that we want to get to the playoffs, which is obviously their goal every year. But this year, they're going to actually throw that out there, I think.
They have to.
They have to.
At this point in time, I mean, it was getting thrown about last year when they were kind of collapsing down the stretch in December. Michael Bennett, those types of guys, were talking to the media after games and saying, look, we should be in the playoffs next year. There's no excuse for us to not be a team that's competing for the playoffs next year. Those are the kind of comments that were coming out of the players' mouths while this team was just falling on its face down the stretch last year in December. And it feels like that needs to be the expectation in Jacksonville. I get the opportunity to sit down and talk to these guys and the guys that have been around here. It feels like their expectations are much higher for this team. What they think this team will do in 2016 is a lot better than what they've seen in their first 2 or 3 years here in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform. The pressure is ratcheted. I just don't know that I can put a number on what it needs to be. As I've said last year when this question came up about, and I said I would have fired Gus Bradley, okay, they're keeping Gus Bradley, what do they have to do in 2016 for him to keep his job? And I said, this needs to look like a playoff team. It's that simple. They can make the playoffs or not make the playoffs, but this needs to feel like a team that is deserving of being in the NFL playoffs. And if something happens where they don't make it, right, we'll see what that looks like. But to me, this needs to be a playoff team.
Right, I think Ryan Davis actually said it the best.
Oh, it was Ryan Davis?
This cut from Ryan Davis I'm about to play was from the day after the Houston game in week 17. And he basically said there's no reason why this team shouldn't be AFC champs next year, AFC South champs, it is.
It's been rough, you know. We definitely had some ups and downs. But looking at the tape, you know, it's a lot of things I can get better at. You know, and as a unit, it's a lot of things we can get better at, of course, and as a defense and as a team. You know, that's what this offseason is for, to reset, get our mind right, because next year we really shouldn't be any excuse why we should be an AFC South Division champs.
Yeah, home playoff game. How's that sound, Jacksonville? This city... Man, you thought it was a party in Cleveland. Home playoff game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They haven't had one since 1999. I know. It still hurts to say that. Haven't had a home playoff game since 1999 when they lost the AFC Championship game to the Tennessee Titans. That'll do it for us here on a Tuesday. Uncle Chaps in tomorrow. So I'm really not sure what guest I have. I know his Twitter handle is at Uncle Chaps. Beyond that, I have no idea. I could be getting Ian Rappaport. I don't know. We'll find out. Can we break some news tomorrow here on the program? We will find out on a Wednesday edition here of Jaguars Today. So for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Mike Dempsey, who is in Utah, I believe, today, based on what I saw on Twitter, as I saw John Stockton Avenue, the street posting being put up on Twitter earlier today. You can check his timeline to see where he's at in his escapades on this marathon vacation. For myself, Fat Tony, I'll be back with you tonight on a Fat Tuesday. From 9 to 10, following the ladies of Helmets and Heels, where I'll be very distracted by the USA in the first half against Argentina and Lionel Messi tonight. So for all of us here aforementioned, that'll do it for us here on a Tuesday. We'll welcome in the boys of Midday Chalk next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.